Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ghostbusters Resurrection is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and to learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
So, when we last left off, you guys were in the Geist One, in the van. You've left Paris, you were on the road, you're on the road to Munich. I'll say that in the hours since you've crossed the border, you're in Germany. But joining us for this game is Nina as herself.
Hello.
The trip is pretty uneventful, nothing happens, there are no highway ghosts, nothing like that.
I'm sleeping in the back seat.
So I'm beginning to dread every form of transportation we have to take as we move across Europe.
Like you left at around 11 a.m. and it is an 8-hour drive. So by the time you're getting there, it's getting a little bit later in the day. Sun's going to be going down in a little bit. You have the address. You're not sure of what the address is. Do you want to go to the address, check it out, or do you want to try and find a hotel? That's up to you guys.
I think we should just get base operations going because I want to put the spectral analyzer on my head and find out what monster may be.
Is that in the Geist One?
It's all of this is in the Geist One.
Okay. Yeah, I'm with that.
Okay.
Hold on,
Resistance in Germany?
I feel like we're being used constantly by this group. I want to call Felicia Silver.
Okay.
And tell her that we need a contact in Germany and see if she has a place that we can stay, like a safe house or something.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, so like a safe house in case people are after you or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And she also said she was going to try and talk to Mr. Book.
Because while we were waiting at the hotel, we copied the diary or the parts of the Van Helsing diary.
So she said, okay, you can send it to Mr. Book. I'll get him into contact with you.
Wait, wasn't she potentially sending him out here to us?
That's what she said she'd look into. She said she'd have to check.
That's right, Josh asked if he was mobile.
Yeah, if he was available or whatever. And she says, okay, well, I'll be in contact. Just let me know when you guys get settled with whatever you're going to do. And then the next day, you guys left for Germany. So I'll say it's getting later in the day, and you're getting close to Munich. You can tell by the little GPS. You know, do you want to call the Silver and then ask where the deal is?
Yeah. I kind of hate her actually, so I don't know. It's like seducing her.
It's like
just glaring at.
Don't even look at what you roll.
Let's be honest. You have a history with women and hate.
That's true, but normally I hate them after.
Well, if the last one was just some nobody and she got Beetlejuice, imagine what this
thing is. Exactly. Oh, God.
She went nuts. Something about her, she did go a little nuts, yeah.
But something about Felicia just rubs me the wrong way. And I'm all about being rubbed the right way.
Well, you can be rubbed the right way if you play your cards right.
So you're saying you're not interested? Like, officially, you're not interested?
I mean,
I
would...
The Mac system, I guess.
move in after completion.
All right, so yeah.
So you call. So who is going to call her?
I'll call
Ghostbusters.
Her. I'll call her.
Who is going to call?
Just call
myself.
All
right. So if you call her, she'll answer and just say gentlemen, what do you need?
We're heading into Munich. Just wondering if you have a safe house or someplace we can hole up, set up as a base of operations.
She says okay, and she gives you an address.
Okay.
She says just they'll be expecting you.
Is there a code word? Is it the red or the white New England clam chowder?
I'm pretty sure they'll recognize the crazy vehicle and the uniforms.
I mean, I guess if they've got a garage, because even if we have a safe house to hide out in, the Geist One parked out front's kind of a dead giveaway.
Who's after? Nobody's after us.
I just in case.
I'm saying.
I just didn't want to pay for a hotel. I gotta be honest. I'm not even kidding. I just didn't want to pay for a hotel. I feel like we're being used.
There is a vampire out there that knows we know, have an idea that is something.
It doesn't know our names. It doesn't know we're in Germany.
I don't know. Maybe it can smell us.
Maybe it can. You know what? I can smell its fear. So
maybe he can just smell the countless amounts of garlic you've been eating since you found out it was a vampire.
It's true. I've been eating.
He's just been munching on garlic.
Eating cloves like candy.
It's like, it burns when he poops. Like. All right, so we have this. Are we there? Are we at the place?
So, okay, so she gives you an address, and you pull up, and it seems like a. I'll say it's like, sort of like a nicer part of town, and sure enough, there's just a guy in a suit. You know, it doesn't really look that much out of the ordinary. He flags you down. He's like, "Yeah, Ghostbusters, come on in." And he just he doesn't tell you what his name is, but there's like several other guys in suits, and it just seems like a nice, like almost like a secret hotel almost. But it's not a hotel. There's not multiple rooms, right. But there is like a little underground parking garage that you guys can park the guys one in out of the way. And they're just like, yeah, anything you want. I mean, you guys have free reign. Just, you know, if you want to go out and about, you're more than welcome to. Or if you want us to call and get things for you, just let us know.
So we have a GPS. Can I get a map? Or, like, can I check the address that we copied?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it doesn't have, like, a name. There's no business, like, attached to it. But it is, like, it's sort of, like, in the border in between the factory district and sort of a poorer side of town. You're not quite sure what the building's going to be like. But, but yeah, it is in that area.
Okay.
So I want to put the aura video. I want to get the aura video answer.
Yeah, let's go ahead and strap that on Briggs.
Put that on, and I want to work on Dark Matter Generator, and if whatever.
While you're wearing that.
Whatever horrific image, just show the horrific image you're working on. Just go.
Okay, so if you put the aura video analyzer onto Briggs, yeah. And you know turn the monitor on, flip it open, and everything.
Go try.
But it's similar to how he looked through the goggles when you looked at him. He's just a glowing. Thing, but you do notice that it appears to be around him. It's not like inside him.
Adam, listen to me very carefully. Mm-hmm. I need you to see if you can move that soda can with your mind.
I try to move it with my mind.
Give me a brain roll.
15.
Nothing happened.
God damn it!
It is not the force. Okay, that's all I wanted to make sure.
Well, wouldn't it be surrounding everything?
It all depends on your midichlorian count.
I guess this force isn't a powerful ally.
We don't talk about midichlorians. Not in this house.
Okay.
Because the Dark Matter Generator you guys were given by the skeletons was, like, heavily damaged.
Yeah.
But you do think you can put this together. So now that you have, like, a workspace and you have time and everything else.
And we have an extra pack that we picked up from
that I can use
the
parts.
International.
Yeah, I mean, you guys have extra packs. Regardless, so you know. So okay, so this is your engine. This is gonna be your role to engineer.
Yep.
All right. Yeah, I'll say you get it together. It's like the way you put it together. You think this looks right? If you dare turn it on, or are you gonna turn it on?
I flip it on immediately.
Yeah.
I cover my crotch.
it kicks on. It makes a pleasant sound. It sounds like it would be working.
Pleasant sound. Death.
The forge. Test it.
It's glowing blue. The way I'll explain that the way it works is like just imagine it's kind of large, like a super soaker would be. Like you would have to use both hands to hold it. It's not like the neutrino wand at all. It's a little bit bulkier than that. It does have the pump action.
I was gonna ask. You
nothing,
have to
nothing. I put on my back.
You do have to put it on your back. There is a pack that you will have to put on. The cable does run from like the pistol grip handle that goes into the pack. It does, but it has like a super soaker. It has a pump action and a nozzle on the front.
Does it have any type of cooldown or ammo capacity?
That's what you're gonna have to mess with when you want to test it.
Okay. Can we test it now that we're like in a safe place?
Do you want to ask one of the Cult of Veritas guys that's there?
There's a safe place.
If they want to volunteer to target practice, we'd be happy.
Just put an apple on their head.
Yeah, a shotgun.
With a shotgun.
I loaded it with ghost bird shots. So.
I'll just say eventually a guy in a suit, another suit walks in. He's just like, hey, you know, it's. It's getting a little bit later. Did you guys want me over for dinner? Do you guys need anything? Before we go on like night shift?
Oh, the garlic.
We're in Germany.
Yeah, pizza. They do pizza in Germany.
Yeah.
So pizza. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, if you wanted to ask him about
garlic,
but besides food,
pizza
also
pizza with lots.
Yeah. So you ask him for a place to test this thing.
Yeah.
He says, okay, I'll order out for some. He gets the order of pizza, like what you guys want.
So you just shoot up the place. Who cares?
Yeah. And he's like, oh, and Jimmy or whoever, he'll take you to the.
Jimmy's like an intern. He's like, hi guys.
he'll take you to where you can test it. So he's like, all right, you just want to follow me? I'll lead you guys to where you can
just
test it.
Just imagine he's like Krieger's intern.
We need to bring a proton pack with us.
To compare?
Yeah. Like, I'll throw a proton pack on my back and
fire extinguisher. And he'll lead you guys, lead you guys to like an elevator and take you down some stairs, and he opens up like a chain link fence that's like, it's you're underground at this point. He opens up a chain link fence, you go down like a cement hallway, you turn a corner, and there's just a shooting range.
Oh, cool.
Go nuts.
Okay. So, are there targets?
Yeah, there's targets at the end of the shooting range.
Are they made of ghosts?
No.
All right, yeah, I'll just pump it, fire off a couple rounds.
Okay, when you shoot it,
if you
just,
know what I mean.
Yeah. When you, you know, you light it up, you rack it, and then you fire. Works just as it should. It's like a scatter, like a shotgun, but what emits from it is like a black strips of confetti, it seems. Just total complete. It's blacker than black. It's like it's just like a black hole.
How much more black could it get?
The answer is none more black.
None more black.
None more black. Glowing. It has like a glowing outline of like blue and purple, and it just a cone of confetti just springs out from it, and
I
it
say,
just
happy birthday,
happy new year, and it just rips through the target, just like it leaves scorch marks through the target that you were firing at.
Cool.
And you fire off multiple, just multiple ones, and it goes. You can fire off like several shots before it starts to make the overheating sound.
And then just wait.
Yeah. Cool.
Any secondary fire options?
There is one. There is an attachment available for a stasis stream, but this doesn't. This one's not capable of that.
Why do I imagine Josh running up, punching a ghost, sticking it in its mouth, and just pulling the trigger?
Because you like to ruin surprise. That's why.
When you get to hell, tell him the Force sent you. All right, so you guys get some pizza, and it's not bad. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. You pizza and beer.
Lots of garlic.
Yeah. Hey.
Get some garlic knots for Briggs.
Yeah.
Okay.
About garlic knots.
Then you guys can sleep there. It's very comfortable. Feel very safe.
I wake up in the middle of the night with a revelation. I lean over to Poulon and I go, in Germany, they're called vampires.
and
my eyes just shoot
and then, open. And then Poul goes, why are you in my bed?
I assumed we were sleeping on the floor or whatever.
I saw a pillow from the other end of the room that was totally inaccurate.
Why is everyone in the same room?
I got cold.
He got cold. I had a bad dream.
You throw the pillow at them, Tobin goes and fetches it and brings it back to you.
So you guys are sleeping, things are fine at the safe house. In the middle of the night, the phone rings.
It's a vampire.
Get out the Germany!
We're
going to Duckula.
I'm the vibe. But you get a phone call in the middle of the night. It's from a guy who it's an officer from the London Metropolitan Police, and he wants to speak to one of the Ghostbusters.
Not it.
Yeah, I'll talk to him.
He says, "We got a man here. He's in lockup. He's in a lot of trouble, and it's he says he knows the Ghostbusters.
A lot of trouble.
He says he knows the Ghostbusters, and he wanted to talk to you." I think it's better if he explains the situation. This is not normal. I'm just going to hand the phone to him. So anyway, Billy answers.
So it is Billy. Okay.
Yeah. So Billy gets on the phone and he's just like, "Hey guys," if you're talking to Josh, he's like,
yeah.
"Hey Josh, can you guys like wire some money to get me out of here?"
What'd you do, Billy?
Okay, well, you told me it was okay to go out, so I went out for the night. You know, I was out having a good time. Was hitting on some nice ladies, things were going good. Another guy comes up, says he was a boyfriend, so we push comes to shove. I get really angry, and
he wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Yeah, I got really angry, and I changed back into a wolf, and things got bad.
So you're like, what, the Incredible Hulk now? Except for, I don't think, after this is over, Billy, I don't think you're going to be able to hitchhike your way across the Atlantic to get that music.
He says, "Well, things. I didn't hurt anybody. I tried to scare him a little bit, you know. And he ran off, and the club cleared out. And I just, the police came in afterwards, and they brought me in.
Wait. So is he charged? Is he charged with anything?
They tell me I'm charged with like disturbing the peace and like assault, you know. But I didn't touch nobody. But it's, you know.
Assault is threatening people, and that's what you did. So
I growled at him. I didn't say anything. But
wait. He was in control.
And he's conscious.
Yeah. Well, like, hold on a second. He's just like, you guys, just hold on a second. And you hear him put the phone down for a second. he's like wrestling through like clothes. Mm-hmm. You hear the snap, shutter snap of like a cell phone picture. And he's like, I'm sending you a picture right now, hold on. And then you hear blink on your phone. And if you pull it up, it's Billy. And he's like in like sort of, not, it's like sort of torn up, like regular shirt and jeans and stuff like that. And he's like, so that's right. So it's just like him goofy smile, you know, like he's in jail.
Facebook photo.
Yeah. Facebook photo making a goofy smile showing off because he knows it's going to you. And he's like, now just hold on a second. And you hear him put the phone down and you hear him just be like, huh? And then you just hear like a and you just hear like a bone
disturbing the peace indeed. Yeah.
You hear like bone cracking, flesh moving craziness. And he's like, all right, hold on. And then you hear another kink of a phone, like a cell phone snap, and the photo comes, and you see like Tex Avery Wolf style.
Was he wearing a zoot suit?
Yeah, he's making, so he's got like a wolf head, but he's making the same goofy grin and the same goofy pose with the same cell phone snapshot.
Oh, jeez.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
So when he picks up the phone again, so like you get that photo, and then he picks up the regular phone again talking to you, you hear like fur ruffling along the phone. And he's like, so that's happening.
Like, okay, cool. Well, I'll tell you what, Billy, if you're going to man the firehouse, we'll wire you some money. But when this is over, you're coming back, and you're going to meet a very nice doctor.
Dr. Acula.
Dr. Acula.
Don't go see Dr. Acula.
He's a hematologist. Now I was going to say...
Dr. Spangler?
Yeah, Dr. Spangler. We're going to have to introduce you to.
I don't know. I mean, if I can do it on my own, like, I can stop it whenever I want.
Yeah, but there's things about it that we need to understand.
Yeah. No, this is important.
Yeah.
All right. If you bail me out, I'll do whatever. It's okay. Fine.
So we bail, I guess, we'd agree to wire the money.
So he'll hand back the money. He'll hand back the phone to the cop. The cop can explain what you need to do, and you guys can do that.
Okay.
Hey, guys.
But I will say that the way he looks wolf-wise... was very different from the wolves you guys encountered in, like, you know, in the sewers for sure.
It looks like a cartoon.
Kind of like, yeah, it looks kind of like, it looks more cartoon-ish.
It probably looks like closer to one from Skyrim then.
Well, no, because the ones you guys saw was a little bit more Skyrim-esque, but they ran on all fours.
Okay.
Whereas the one that Billy looks like, it was clearly still wearing like torn clothes on two legs.
Just imagine the scout, with the headphones,
with the baseball cap, yeah,
baseball cap and the microphone.
Yeah, it's basically it's a baseball cap on a wolf with the ears coming out and like you know the long nose, the teeth in the front, like the tongue, just being out, being goofy and crazy. So
hey guys, we created a Looney Tunes.
Dude, yeah. So he's like my favorite person.
Yeah. All right, so.
So then, anyway, that happened early. That was like at 3 a.m. when you guys got that phone
call. How much
call.
Did
so,
we have to wire?
I don't know. Let's just say we'll say it's like 500 pounds.
So it's $1,000.
Yeah.
Actually, a little more, but I'll just say 1,000.
All right. So next morning.
Yeah, it's the next morning. You guys free to do.
Wanna head out to the address?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, your time.
If you want, they could probably recommend something for you to take.
Will my
condition impact the...
You're not going to know until you put it on.
I would say, because it's probably easier to use, I would go with a slime blower over a proton pack.
Slime blower is heavy, though.
That's true.
Proton pack's still pretty heavy.
Wait,
too.
Who has the other slime blower?
I have one. I was assuming somebody was going to take our dark matter generator.
That's why I'm having this job open,
yeah.
Just in case.
So anyway, so you load up the car with everybody, with Nina and Tobin. You drive out to this address. As you're leaving the nice part of Munich, you're getting into like this part that looks kind of a little bit more run down, a little bit more sketchy. You finally get to the address because you're using like the GPS. You pull up and it's very quiet out. There's not a lot of people milling about. And what catches your eye is that it's like a two-story building. It looks like it may have been a factory. There's like a name above a door that's leading up to like the second floor. And there's like the name of what looks like maybe like a bar or a club on the first floor, and the address you have would lead you to believe it's like 12B. So like you're thinking it might be like the second
okay.
floor.
Okay. What time is it? It's morning.
This is like in the morning. So let's just say it's like 10:30, 11. A door on the first floor that has the number of that you're looking for. There's like a hazard tape taped on the seams of the door in like red and white stripes, and there is a note attached to the front bearing the Ghostbusters logo, like an official letter. You approach it, you can pull the letter off, it's written...
I think it'd be better to walk up where it's like, oh, there's nothing here, guys.
Wait, this place is already taken care of.
Oh, I guess, job done.
But there's a letter with the official Ghostbusters logo on it, and there's a lot of text written in German, and we can see your hand it to Nina.
Oh, yeah. Pluck yeah. that and hand yeah. that off.
And when Nina reads it, I'll just tell you what it says in the year. But basically, it is an official notice from the International Ghostbusters
yes.
saying that this place has, for your own safety, do not enter, because this place has been sealed off due to some paranormal activity of some kind. Mm-hmm. They're going to be investigating it, so the public is not allowed in. And then it has like a case number of what it is, like an official reference number, and the phone number of the Ghostbusters to call if there's an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a case number on the form.
So I'm going to call Billy
mm-hmm.
and ask him to look up this case number.
He's like, hey guys, you know, had a rough night, as you well know. It's like, so what do you need?
And we tell him about the case number at all.
He's like, all right, hold on a second. And you just hear him clicking on a computer. And he pulls up a number. He's like, yeah, I got a cell phone number. That's some guy, it's like an artist lives there. It's like an art studio, it looks like. And he's like, some guy named Carson Heller. And you're like.
Wait, just click hangs up.
No, but you correct.
It's Carson.
Yeah, so, but I'm saying it wrong because that's how he would say it too. So he tells you, yeah, he's like, and I got a cell phone number if you want to talk to him. So he gives you guys a cell phone number.
Well, and there's no information in the case file.
Just that he was that's his studio. That's like above. It's like the door on the first floor leads to a second floor, sort of like large art studio where he works, and that he was having nightmares, and he thinks that maybe there's might be some ghosts in his apartment. He's not quite sure, but he is not there. He is staying with his girlfriend, but they did leave a cell phone number as contact information.
Okay, cool. Thank you, Billy. Stay out of trouble.
He's like, all right. And he hangs up.
No more Tex Avery cartoons for you, mister.
You want to get Carsten? We'll
call Carsten. Let's call Carsten.
Like, I just want to kick
Will Carsten holler at a boy?
So you give him a call, and I guess Neil will have to answer because he speaks German. But so he answers the phone, and he's just like, hello? Yeah. Who is it? Who is this? He doesn't know who's called. This is a cell phone. He's answering a cell phone.
Yeah. My name is Nina Banjakis. I'm in Ghostbusters. Sie kennen uns wahrscheinlich. Wir sind momentan in der Stadt. Wir wollten gerne wissen, wie es aussieht mit ihrer Wohnung, wie momentan der Stand ist, ob sich etwas geändert hat.
I don't know what
to say. I was basically just asking what the current situation is with this flat, if anything has changed, and
okay.
if you can give us an update.
Guys, we are now legit.
No more of this holding up our phones and Google Translate.
he tells you that the situation was that he was having like really bad nightmares, and it was affecting mm-hmm. his work. He was working on a very important project.
Yeah.
He called the International Ghostbusters because that's what they're there for, you know.
Uh-huh.
And they were already close to the area. They were already like in France, so they didn't mind stopping by. And when they did, they went and they checked it out. They said that they wanted him to immediately leave. They're gonna quarantine it. They were gonna take care of it, and that was like 3 days ago, and he just hasn't gone back since.
Oh, he's very close. Yeah.
He says he was very scared. But he will come let you guys in if need be.
Mm-hmm.
We can let ourselves in. that's not the problem.
But he says that he hasn't heard from them since they said they were going to check it out, and he assumed that something bad may have happened because. They just haven't contacted him since, and he's driven by like every day, and it just stayed the same. So he's actually very worried and very scared.
We're gonna go in.
He's like,
we need him to unlock the thing, or else he's gonna have a new door.
He shows up after a few minutes. It's not that far away. He like you know unlocks the door, and he like beckons you guys inside. And when you go inside, you go up a small narrow flight of stairs, like immediately first thing. And it's just a huge open area. You go in, it's a large art studio. There's like paint, you know, dried paint all on the hard wooden floors. There's easels everywhere, different paintings and things. There is one entire wall that runs the length of the entire place, has like tarps like over it, covering the wall. There's also a tarp covering what looks like a sculpture that he may have been working on that's like maybe like 8 feet tall, maybe 9 feet tall in the center of everything.
If it's Vigo, I'm gonna care.
He brings you guys in, and he starts explaining to Nina...
Everything you were doing here
is wrong.
I want you to know this.
He basically says that he was commissioned by the UN mm-hmm. to work on a new sculpture for like the UN headquarters that's actually in Vienna.
Uh-oh.
And he was working on a sculpture, and things were going great But then, like, he started having trouble sleeping at night, and he had, like artist block, not like writer's block. Like, he had having trouble thinking of ideas. And then one night, he went to bed, and he had, like, the worst nightmare that he'd ever had his entire life that felt more real than anything that it ever was. And when he woke up, there was a mural on his wall that he doesn't remember painting, and the sculpture that he was sculpting is gone and is replaced with something that's a half-completed sculpture. Both the sculpture and the painting on the mural that takes up the entire wall terrifies him so much that he covered it immediately, and he doesn't like looking at it because it scares him so much.
Like, all right, we'll turn around.
That is really freaky.
And he says,
"Guys, leaving."
Yeah, he says that he showed it to the International Ghostbusters and everything, and that's when they told him that it was a good time to leave. But he says,
"Spy pissed himself."
but he says that he's willing. He says he'll show you guys. He has it on like a rig now, where he can just like pull the thing and lift it, and you can see, and then everything else. So, do you guys want to see the sculpture? But which
the sculpture and the mural? Which
one?
I hope it looks like a black.
Just do the mural first.
Okay.
It's just nothing but feet.
It's the mural from the Denver airport. We're like, you need to get out of here.
It's the exact mural. Yes. It's like the exact one.
Like, oh god, it's spreading. It's a mural from the Denver airport and the giant horse.
Well,
okay, so we pull the mural.
So he goes over to the wall, because again, this wall runs the entire length of the studio.
Okay.
He goes over and he places his back against the wall, and he sort of like looks away, and he just like with shame just starts cranking the pulley system to lower the ropes, and the tarp just falls down to the ground, and everyone's gonna have to give me a cool roll.
It's furry porn, isn't it?
I knew it.
Just a bunch of dragons banging cards.
Oh, no. I don't have to give a cool roll for that. That's the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Yes. Yeah.
Hey, guys.
Look how terrible that is.
That's not good at all.
You guys all beat me.
Briggs, you don't pass out, but you, like, as soon as you get a view of it, you catch yourself like, I can't, no, and you just immediately turn away and look away.
Does my ghost condom not protect me?
No. No. The ring does nothing for you, sir.
What about the goggles?
You know,
in Nina's case, because Nina rolled the next lowest, I'll say it's the same thing, but you get like you're on the verge of passing out from the shock of how crazy this thing looks. So you actually have to sit down and like get off of your feet and sit down and like look away and not even look at it.
Oh god, it's full visual interpretation of the time cube.
Oh. and then Josh, wait, so Josh got
eight.
You look at it a little bit longer than they do, but again, like you can't even
turn away.
You can't see everything. You only see parts of it, and you have to turn away. Who was in the, it was pool?
14.
14.
You're like, okay, this is hurting me. It's hurting me to look at it. I'm gonna try and get as much in, and then you look away. So I'll tell you what you were able to get. Okay. And pool, you got 15.
15.
Pretty much the same thing. Grand total, we're looking at it for about 3 seconds. You know.
Jeez.
He sees you guys turn away, and he's like, he wants to know if you want him to cover it back up.
Yes, so, please, no, for the love of God.
No, it stays. I've never been so aroused in my life.
You want to leave it uncovered?
Okay.
Right, yeah, that's it. I'm going to be,
okay,
like, I'll puke all over his floor.
Wir müssen uns das noch einmal angucken. Ich nicht, aber...
Okay, so he'll leave it uncovered, and he's like, okay, do you want to look at the sculpture?
Yes. Just like, yeah. Hit me with it. Come on. Like, we already know what we're dealing with.
I turn away. I'm just like, you just tell me the gory details.
He says he will say to Nina is that the sculpture actually, you can look at it. It just kind of unsettles me because I can tell that I've sculpted it, but I don't know what it is. I don't remember sculpting it. And
it's dick butt.
It's dick butt.
No. I don't know what it is. It's like...
Okay, sorry. So he goes over and he grabs the tarp and he pulls the tarp down, and what you see is a half-completed sculpture of a humanoid that goes up to about the mid-torso. So anything above the mid-torso is still like a solid block of clay. That's not, it hasn't been sculpted out yet.
Don't they normally sculpt from top to bottom?
He doesn't remember doing it. He doesn't remember anything about it. So,
clearly it's a giant blockhead ghost from Gumby.
but it's humanoid in long robes, like ratted robes. The hands look kind of like, you guys would remember, kind of like demon-ish hands, not like human hands, but it's just sort of standing like in a power pose on like rocks.
Like Mark Gormley?
You could say, oh, maybe, I don't know.
Maybe.
But you
God,
but
I haven't thought of Mark Gormley in so long.
Alright.
I'm gonna PKE.
I'm assuming you're all having your backs to the
mirror. Yeah.
I would like to at some point try to stomach looking at it so I could.
Why did I get
every time you want to, I'll deal with that.
Yeah, no, I should have given it to Nina. She has way more brains.
I'm gonna have a put the goggles on, have a look at the statue as well.
Okay, the statue.
Yeah.
The statue does not have any glowing about it. The statue itself does not have any properties of PKE.
Can I just real quick just glance at the mural?
Yeah.
Okay. 27 on a ghost.
You go and you look at the mural. You get a better look at it. Mm-hmm. It still freaks you out. It is glowing. Not as much as like Briggs was, but it's like it is glowing. But it's almost like the mural itself is not glowing. It's like the wall is glowing. Like in the wall is like glowing. But you can't look at it for too long. You're gonna have to look away.
All right. Can we take a second to like can Wall and I turn around and talk about what glimpses we did get of it?
Yeah.
Well, I was gonna say, hey guys, I'm gonna try to do a study of it. I was gonna spend some brownie points
to look at.
Yeah,
it?
I'm gonna try to steal myself to try to pretend for a moment I'm a scientist and look at it objectively.
Okay. Take a breath. You know, like you're gonna have to really brace yourself. If
all right. This mural is like the Grifter, or whatever that
candle
video
jam.
Is. Yeah, it's a candle.
4-7. Okay, I'm gonna spend 5 brownie points.
It's like candle. No.
It's like Candle Jack. He just shows up.
I just end the episode there.
Sorry, guys. You
line just goes dead. People start listening to it like, why is this episode only 20 minutes long? And then it's like, and it's about to end any second now. Then all of a sudden someone just says Candle Jack and it ends.
It's like, all right.
Spending 5 brownie points. I'm gonna take a deep breath. I'm going to remember that this is for science.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to look at
science
it.
Science good.
Yeah, science good. Monster bad. 17, 22, 26.
So you're like, all right, here we go. And you turn and you look and it's just like, you're trying to take as much of it in as possible. And it's like...
It's beautiful.
No, it is horrifying. I'll say that you get to look at it for like maybe a good 5 to 8 seconds. Every second you're looking at it, it's harder and harder to look at, but I'll try to describe now what you're seeing.
Okay.
You are seeing a painting. It's not like alive or whatever, of a horizon with mountains in the distance, and like looks like it could be a setting sun or a rising sun, you're not quite sure, but it's like blood red. There are massive creatures of kinds that you can't even see, because you can't tell where the creatures end and the mountains begin and everything else. Details that lead from the focal point, from the front, that lead to the horizon, which might be humans. It's really hard to tell. It's kind of abstract at that point. You're seeing hints of blood, hints of fire, all over the place. You're not really sure where it's coming from, what. There is like a central, and there seems to be in the distance another central figure that seems to be standing above this large crowd of millions and millions. It just looks like the end of existence. Like this is like you just get this sense of feeling of dread of like of what you're seeing, and that's pretty much all you can get. There's really nothing.
The figure, was it vaguely humanoid?
Vaguely humanoid, and you might think it has something to do with that statue.
Okay, so like similarities.
Kind of, but even then, the figure in the painting is very small. But that's all you can stomach. Because there's way more, but that's all you can get out of it.
Okay. So I say, whoa. And turn around, and I tell them, like, basically it looks like an apocalypse picture, but it's very graphic.
Apocalypse picture, but it didn't feel like Earth.
Right. Some non-Euclidean landscape.
And when he's telling you this, from the moments that you guys looked at, you're kind of like, yeah, I guess that kind of makes, that helps.
Yeah.
That helps with what I saw. That helps make sense of what the fuck I saw.
I just looked at.
Yeah.
Adam's like, I saw red.
Yeah.
Like, I saw a red blur.
I saw pain. It's like, it's really...
Can I put on the ecto goggles and then look at the artist?
Like, yeah, if you put ecto goggles on, you look at the artist, he's huddled in the corner, he looks completely human. There's nothing.
So I can use ecto goggles, no problem then.
But because he's so far away, you're getting a slight glimpse of the mural and the floor. That transparent glowing effect of stuff moving around that was behind the wall is also in the floor.
Hey guys, you know that weird glowing thing that Mike found? It's in the floor too.
Is there anything behind this wall? Like, is there more building?
This entire, because his whole floor is basically like a fourth of this like long, it used to be a factory, and he'll explain to Nina, and Nina can translate.
It's a big studio, basically.
He has turned it into a really big studio. This used to be a really big factory that has since been sealed off and used for different purposes. He says the one through that wall next door is vacant. No one uses it. and below him is rented out by like by this like new nightclub that he doesn't favor because the music keeps him, used to keep him awake, and he the patrons are.
How long has the club been open?
The club's been open for like maybe 6 months, but things didn't get bad because he would just leave when it got dark because, you know, he'll just work. He likes to work in the mornings and the daytime. But the customers and some of the people who work there got pretty unruly recently, like within the past couple of weeks.
Unruly just mean loud? Like that's it?
Loud but mean. Like they like I used to be able to say hello to them, but now they just
they're werewolves.
They're basically they made it clear that they don't like the fact that I live and work above them. Isa, should I cover it up in the meantime?
Yes.
Yes, please.
No, I like it.
Let's just cover it up so we can move around the room.
Yeah, that
sounds without having to not look at the side of the building we're trying to get.
A fourth
to.
Of it.
Okay. So he'll pull the pulley and it covers it up and you guys are free to move around. So
I think we need to go check that nightclub.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, but it might be coming up from even further below.
Well, can we split up? Can somebody, can parts of us go to the manholes and the other person to the neck?
Good idea. We can do more damage that way.
And break.
Yeah. Well, break there. Yeah.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Or Nina, can you ask him what the more specifics about his nightmares, if there's any clues that he can give us without us falling over and throwing up looking at a painting?
Können Sie uns ein paar Details geben, was Ihre Albträume angeht?
He was having a nightmare. He had several nightmares over the course of like the weeks leading up to it, but the really bad one that was like the most vivid one was just an amalgamation of all of them. He was just having a dream of the end of the world, of what he interpreted it to be. In one version, the world ended with like an apocalypse that just ended where just monsters came out of the ground, came out of the sky, everyone just died in terrible ways, being ripped apart. Another way the world ended was just like a person who seemed human was just like a dark version of an empire that just ruled over the entire world. But the world ended, like, everything we knew was just gone. And another way the world... Like, there was just... And there was another way the world ended where it was, like, a demon king was in charge over all men everywhere. I mean, but all of this was just molded into one dream where all were happening simultaneously. And there were voices of different... It was almost like arguments were happening in his head between these different forces and stuff. And several names came out. He'll say that the only thing that he remembers that sounded like a name.
Captain Howdy?
No. He'll Jeff. Say, the only word that he remembers was not English, it wasn't German, it's just something so he doesn't know if it's a name or if it's a different language, was Niamas. And so everyone give me a brains roll. Pool goes, Niamas. That sounds really familiar. Nina remembers that you guys, back during when you were busting stuff a year ago, this was the name that the demon said when you said, "Who are you working for?"
We find out. We finally found out who number two was.
Pool's leaving the room.
Oh, I thought he was with.
Oh man!
Because remember, he said a name. You couldn't quite. It was like another language.
And he was the harbinger. He was the messenger.
Fuck.
Man, we probably should bring that guy back out for some questioning.
What, that little girl?
Well,
The demon. You did trap the demon.
We
you did trap
him. Yeah,
that's
true. We got his tooth. We can summon him.
Yeah, the tooth is framed on the wall.
Josh, we can just punch him into submission.
Give me your tears, demon.
Yeah, you guys remember that that was the name that thing said when after Josh and Poole had beat the shit out of him and he was cowering in the corner and you're like, tell us now who are you working for? The multi layered voice said Nehemos. These nightmares only started like maybe a week ago because like 2 weeks ago it was really around the same time that the people in the club were acting very strange. That's why he thinks that his studio might be haunted, because if the studio is haunted, that might explain why they're being mean and why he's having the crazy nightmares. That was his theory, at least.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's
go find his demon.
But when he was describing his nightmares, or when Nina was translating his nightmares, that amalgamation of stuff appears to, from what Josh could piece together, it appears that that's what was happening in the painting. Like, and just several different apocalyptic scenarios combined in one painting.
Together, okay. Yeah. Okay. All right, so do you guys want to hit the club?
Yeah. I want to check out to see if there's an entrance to the sewer anywhere near here.
Oh, that's right. You did say that. Okay.
All right. Like there's like a manhole outside. Like,
we're
going
to split up to do more damage?
Yeah. That was the plan.
All right, so I've got a walkie-talkie.
I have the other walkie-talkie.
Now, if you guys are going into the nightclub, slime is probably more appropriate than a proton stream.
And Nina, because somebody who speaks German will likely not be in the sewer as much as in the club.
Right, so I'm going to go down with the dark matter generator. Into the sewer, and I think two people with proton packs should come with me.
I will go with Josh.
So now what? So who's going where?
I guess Mike, LaForge, and myself, and then Nina and Poole.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So three into the sewer, two into the club.
What three are going to the sewer?
Wall, LaForge, Briggs.
Okay.
As you said,
and then Tobin...
We'll go Poole, with us.
Tobin, and Poole, and Ian are going to check out the club.
Yeah.
Let me do. I'll deal with the sewers first. So,
click on flashlight.
Yeah. And you,
I put my goggles on.
Okay. You climb down.
Yeah.
It seems pretty typical so far. The sewer runs parallel to the street.
Mm-hmm.
So you really can't go in the direction of the building.
Can we make like a circuit of the building and try to?
You can give that a try, but after 50 feet or so, it starts to taper down into like a regular like water flowing. I'd say there's a little bit of water flowing, just like not even like a couple inches, but it tapers down into like a regular water reservoir, and just where physically no person can go.
Are we at the wall that basically you said runs parallel to the building?
Yeah.
So
you're not under the building or anything like that. You're under the street basically is where you are.
So there's no like north, south, east, west. We can't like there's no way through.
No, there's no. It doesn't. It's not like the ones in the London Underground. This is like. Like this is a like a service area for maybe people to come in, but it will taper off into just regular like water collection and what like the gutter and stuff.
Okay, well I guess we're done here.
So we'll
begin our climb back.
So
up.
So while they were down there, Poole and Nina and Tobin, you're gonna check out the nightclub. So like you just go up to the front door, I guess.
Yeah, it's well.
It is sealed shut. I will say the sign above it was Zum Henker.
Zum Henker.
Okay.
Dina, what does that mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of a, it does make a lot more sense if you're German. It's one of those things that are really...
That's why we're asking you to translate.
Not 100%, well, it's one of those things you can't really translate one-to-one, but it basically means at the executioner's or executioner's place. But Henker also refers to the Grim Reaper. So it can mean both. And at the same time, Zum Henker is a curse. It's like saying, damn it.
Did Tregeagle have a brother?
No.
That's the name of
the Grim Reaper. It was distinctively, he was a man. He was not. You
it's
know.
Gothic, but a little bit tongue-in-cheek, you could say.
Okay. But that's the name of the club.
Like,
so
it's like
a play on words.
Addiction.
Exactly.
Okay. So I guess we give a knock. And is there anyone there? Or is it kind of
it looks sealed up because this is the day. This is like afternoon. You know, this is like early afternoon or noonish.
Their coffins yet.
I go ahead and do a look over both shoulder, pull out the pistol,
blast off the lock.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, you blast off the lock.
Sure, $20 in the till for him.
Yeah. It's...
All right. So like
twenty
we'll
euros.
Go in.
Yeah.
Like $20 American. Like, what the fuck am I gonna do with this?
Okay.
All right,
$10.
So you're gonna open the door and step in.
Yeah.
You take a couple steps in, you're sneaking in. It's very dark, there's no lights on inside. But from what little sunlight spilling in, it does look like this is, like, it's used. It's not, like, an abandoned thing. Like, this is a modern thing. So you take a couple steps in, and then an alarm goes off. It's like a loud burglar alarm. It's basically what goes on.
Briggs has engineering. Do we hear this outside?
You're in the sewer. If you start climbing back up, you're like, what's that ringing? You hear, like, a loud ringing. Yeah,
we can walkie-talkie. If they see anybody outside.
You want to walkie-talkie them or whatever?
I'm sure, like, at some point, we're just like, nothing down here.
Tell Briggs to get here ASAP.
You get there fairly quickly, but you're there. So what do you want to do?
I want to find the...
You want to use engineering.
Yeah, so I want to use engineering, and I want to disable the alarm.
Okay, give me an engineering so you can try and figure it out. You find the keypad on the wall that has the lock.
Disable by making it look like a malfunction, basically, unplugging it. The circuit's on the back.
Okay, I mean, if it's that simple, then I'll just say that...
Yeah, it's very easy to do that.
Yeah, I'll just say that you do that.
Okay.
And I'll say that the alarm does cut out.
Yeah, and then I place it back on there like nothing ever happened.
Okay, all right. I will say, you do hear police sirens in the distance.
Okay.
Let's work on that.
I'll stand outside.
Alright, yeah. If you stand outside, sure enough, like, two police cars pull up, and they get out, and they're speaking in German, but they're just like, you know, they seem pleasant, but
I'll say English? American? Any of them speak English?
No, but they'll be like, they understand.
It's like Ghostbusters.
Yeah, like they see the uniform, mm-hmm. they're clearly like, okay, something's going on. So they're not worried about you, like, robbing the place.
Okay, okay. And while he's doing
they're,
that,
they're not on their guard, you know.
I secretly just put the thing back and put it back, just like, I didn't do anything bad.
All right, you're inside at this point. Were you going
to
go out?
I'm going to wave the officers in to follow me to talk to Nina so she can explain.
Okay, yeah. So, all right, so they come in and they're just like, guten Tag. So,
wait,
like, no,
it's close to something.
So they just they're like, so what's going on here? What's they're asking? What's going on? What is this?
What should she say? Doing we're investigating.
No, we're investigating a very serious problem.
A very serious problem. But then they're going to ask for specifics, obviously.
Well, you can tell them everything we know. It's like we're not hiding anything. We're trying to.
Yeah, but obviously they, you know. I mean, they might not believe in ghosts, so they might think that we're crazy.
It doesn't matter. Like, they're about to see some.
They're like, yeah, this alarm, the burglar alarm was set off. What are you doing here?
Tell them that we are...
They're being polite. They're just like, what's the story? What are you doing here?
We're investigating a call.
Okay. We got a call from the man next door, and... upon further investigation, we found out that we needed to come in here to find out exactly what the cause of the paranormal activity is.
There's a very serious, potentially emergency situation happening in the floor.
We looked up a list of the top 10 creeps in the area, and the one in here came up on top of the list.
What do you tell them? What do you tell them?
We were asked to investigate this place, as it might have something to do with the paranormal circumstances.
Okay, so you were asked to come in and check this place out.
Yes.
All right. So do you mind if we just cross check it with the owner and just make sure that your story checks out?
But, okay. Tell them it's an emergency situation. We didn't have time. If they would mm-hmm. if they would notify the owner.
Yeah.
While this is happening, we'd really appreciate it.
The officers basically say, "All right, well, if there's an emergency, is there like a fire? Do we need to call like ambulance or fire or anything like that?
No.
Like, what's the nature of the emergency that you got in here?
Demonic."
Yes, strictly demonic, sir.
They're just like, they're looking at each other and just sort of like,
Listen, we can show you what all of this is about.
I just push Nina aside and cover both the cops.
If you want to tell them, like, hey, I don't think you understand, there's a man upstairs who's having a very serious, life-threatening problem because of what's going on in this place. If we don't nip it in the bud now, there's going to be a very serious issue. It's not really up to the owner. There are other people at risk. The patrons of his nightclub will be in danger, and we need to deal with this right now. So we're going to continue what we're doing. If you feel like you're cross-checking the donor, fine. If you need to arrest us afterwards, but we need to do what we're doing right now.
This translating takes a few minutes.
Sure. Right, yeah. Sure.
Mm-hmm. In the meantime, I'll say that one of the officers, he'll be listening to you and he'll be doing the translating. The other one will go and check, like, mm-hmm. make the phone call and everything like that.
The owner Like, it doesn't matter if it is okay with him. We need to take care of this.
Hold on,
this
hold on. Is... Let's put the emphasis on the questionable...
We don't know the owner's involvement.
Yeah. Yes.
In it. So we... Yeah. I mean, if they want to stay and monitor, that's fine. Yeah. But we'd rather...
Yeah, like, we don't know if the owner is in cahoots with whatever's going on here. And we would rather that he... He can be mad at us, that's fine. But we would rather he not be alerted until we are done with what it is that we have taken care of here.
And we'll include the officers in every
bit
of this
investigation. Yeah, you guys can stick around all you like, but we would rather the owner not be alerted to our presence here at this time.
He's convinced that you're on the up and up, and that you are out to try and save lives.
And if he isn't, we'll have the mob kill him.
Yeah. It's like, Ghost, however, is going to be the other cop coming over, and he's like, no, 999. He's going to start explaining that basically they've already called the owner. The owner says he did not ask for anyone to come in, and if they kick down the door and if they did anything to the alarm, he wants compensation, and he wants you guys out.
That's nice, but we can't afford to leave.
He's like, okay, look, you are not supposed to be in. You're not supposed to be in here because the owner owns the building. He not only said that did he not call you, but he specifically asked for you to be removed. If we have to, we will forcefully remove you. However, if you voluntarily step out, we can try and cover something from the outside to investigate. The owner says that he's going to come by, make sure everything's fine, and that the club opens at 9 o'clock. And if you want to talk to him or you want to come in at that point, he'll talk to whoever he wants to talk to, but he does not want you here now.
Can we just nettle?
Well, I mean, and then the cops, at this point,
the cops are sympathetic with you.
Yeah.
But they're definitely like, they're very torn and conflicted on what to do.
Well, the owner
is on his way.
Good. He should be on his way.
Okay, well, that's good then.
We'll just wait for the owner to get here and show him the same thing. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he knows.
I'm just going to throw that out there.
But I'll say by now, a car will be pulling up and it will be like the owner. I'll say this is a guy who's like, looks like maybe he's in his 40s, maybe 50s.
Is he greasy?
He's
like a greasy club owner.
He's got slick back hair, let's say.
He's greasy. All right.
So he comes up, he's very angry, he's yelling at the cops, and he's like pointing fingers and everything.
And as he turns his back, I'm like...
mocking him completely. And so he marches inside, starts looking around, and the cops look to
you
guys.
How does Tobin respond when this guy walks up?
Oh,
Tobin's just sort of watching. He's not really, okay. You know, whatever. You got goggles.
Yeah, goggles and PKE. Like,
I'm gonna goggle.
If you goggle him, you don't see anything.
I'm gonna say, listen, pal. With my tone, mm-hmm. I'm gonna be bluffing
at him
while Nina's translating what I'm saying. Uh-huh. And I'm gonna say, listen, pal, you don't want to be known as the last, the first club owner in Germany to make sure that he had live executions happening before his entire, all of his people, and to be the guy who let it happen when the Ghostbusters fully came in and did this. And if it doesn't happen, tonight's gonna be the night. Where it happened.
Okay.
And I'm gonna say, not only is it gonna happen, you're gonna be the first to go. It's part of this whole plan. You don't understand. We've researched for like 20 years.
Exactly. We've seen, out of the womb, you were researching.
We've seen exact painting with this exact phenomenon that's gonna happen in your shop 14 times already in America. You don't want it to happen again here.
Okay.
Good buff.
All right,
let's go.
Okay,
33.
He believes that you believe it, but he just says, that's not true. And I know it's not true. You need to leave.
All right, well, he knows what's going on.
Slime him. I don't care.
Okay.
Slime him.
He says
he knows it's not true. He's in.
I slime him immediately. No, I just go...
Net the cops.
Yeah. All right.
John, you net the cops. I'll slime the douchebag.
So you knock him flat on his ass. Just unload on the slime on this thing.
And I just get over going.
Does it have any effect on him?
He passes out. He's covered, that's completely, Janosch at the end, covered, knocks him flat on his ass, sends him skidding across like the grass or whatever's outside.
Are the cops next to each other?
The cops are next to each other, but this just happened right in front of them, and they're looking at like, they're not making any hostile moves, but they're definitely just like not entirely sure what they've just seen either.
They say, hey, you can say we restrained you, and we can slime net him.
Yeah,
it's up to you. It's like you. It's not your fault. We went rogue. Oops.
All right.
Hey guys, I hope German jails are nice.
I'm gonna spend 2
rounds. We're not in Turkey yet, so I think we're okay.
I don't know, maybe you're like some vigilante.
I'm gonna spend two grand on
Express.
Oh shit.
To net like both of them. No. Just like one
okay,
net.
Okay.
Try to grab them together.
I would say it sticks them together, both of them together. And then it'll knock them, like, it sticks on both of them and sort of closes them in, like they're like basically back to back, and then just like they're on the ground.
Do German cop cars lock the back doors from the inside like any normal cop car?
Seems logical.
Who has carry? Mike. Let's pick up the guy and throw him in the back and close the doors.
Oh boy.
I saw him wake up and it'd be a problem.
Oh, you mean the owner? Pick
the owner. Yeah. Pick up the owner and put him in the back of the cop car and just close the doors.
Yeah, you pick him up, you can put him in the back of the car. He's very slippery, slimy. It's kind of a pain in the ass, but you get him in there and you can close the door.
Greasy.
So, in we go.
All right, you go in. I mean, all the lights are out.
You know, it's going to be really bad when we find nothing. I go on goggles first.
Okay. Yeah, it seems like a typical club, completely empty. Mm-hmm. All the lights are out, so
is there a basement?
You can't really see from just looking in like the main dance floor area or whatever, but you know. It's like
I'll go in.
Are you going in with a slime blower on?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, buddy.
So you guys go in, it's very dark. Who has goggles?
I do.
Everyone else has got flashlights on, Tobin's following behind Nina. Yeah, I mean, you can see, like, this thing, it's moving like slime. You can see through, it's the entire ceiling of this place, the entire same wall, and it's pretty much every other wall as well. So it's, like, completely surrounded and encased.
Briggs, I think we need bait.
I'll be bait.
Okay, so, we noticed last time that your ring had a effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so do you want me to just go to a wall and push against it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Be ready to run.
Get ready to die. More like
I've got my slime blower like pointed towards.
Get
him.
Ready to die is more what I mean.
I'm gonna unhook a slime grenade.
Are you gonna back it? Are you gonna everybody?
No. I'm just gonna full on just press against it.
Full hands.
That's
full hands on the wall.
That's a good plan.
Yeah.
Give me a standard moves first. Ooh, okay.
I barely.
Yeah. So okay. So you put your hand. You put your
Dana
hands
in the bathtub.
Yeah. You put your hands against the wall.
Yeah.
And you feel like that sort of like humming, like vibrating thing coming through. You feel like movement happening. And you're like, I should probably take my hands away. You start to take your hands away, and through the wall, black slime just through the drywall, and in the shape of demon hands reaches out, trying to grab both of your hands, but you're pulling your hand away so quickly, it's so close, the black slime just greases your hands as you're pulling them away, like, oh shit, like completely.
Let's yank him out of the wall.
Tether the hands.
You want to shoot a tether?
You want to shoot a tether?
Yeah.
Okay.
Try and.
I'm going to pull a slime grenade off my.
Standard moves. You would hit it in between the two hands where you nail it. Mm-hmm. You know. So just towards the floor?
Yeah. Towards the floor.
You just tie it to the floor?
Yeah.
The black hands grab the slime tether. Yank the slime tether, and that floorboard pops up off the ground, and underneath it is black slime.
Underneath that, I drop the slime. Drop it into the hole.
So you see the hole, and you're like, okay. Drop. It hits the floor, and it disappears into there. I'm assuming you're gonna back away.
Yeah, definitely.
Shield your eyes, close your mouth, and there you hear a muffled poof, and just through that hole in the floor, just a column of green just like just squirts up, and then just lands right back onto the dance floor. You are hearing multiple police sirens in the distance now.
I don't know if we can reason with them at this point.
Well, I think if we can get these black arms to peer out of the wall, Jason Briggs, then the police aren't gonna know what to do. Like, so, they're gonna leave us alone.
Coat me again, just coat me heavily, arms, everything, and I'm just gonna walk back up there. When they get close, when we hear them coming up, then I will put my hands on the wall and just
I'm gonna be ready to help them get out of it.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So sacrificial idiot.
All right, you're slime. You're ready to go. You're hearing a bunch of people, like you're hearing a bunch of footsteps, at least running, like running.
So
out.
They walk and they see like a walking
Well, they see all of you guys with flashlights on and everything else, like just in the thing, and there's a lot of shouting going on.
Okay, and they see us, and I just put my hands on the wall immediately, and I just look, and I'm just like.
But not get grabbed.
Yes.
Yeah, I want to avoid it.
Okay, then give me standard moves. The hands come out, but you miss them.
Okay. Are the police, do they see this?
They come in, and there's just like flashlights on top of guns and everything, and they're yelling in German. Basically, you can hear, they're basically saying everyone needs to get on the floor right now. Because their arms are black, and it's very dark. There's no lights in here, except for your flashlights. So it's like, this is very dark. You don't need, there's, I'll just say there's like six cops.
I'm gonna point to the arms of the
Okay. You start pointing or whatever?
Point, like
we
look.
Can,
yeah.
We can take a flashlight and point it at
them. So you just start pointing or whatever? Okay, if they look, they will see like arms or whatever. But if there's like a few moments pass where like nothing's touching them, nothing's anything, it's gonna pull its arms slowly back into the ground.
So they did see it.
They did see it, but they're still scared. But there's a few of them are just like everybody needs. Basically, one guy who's in charge of me is like, everybody needs to get on the floor like right now because this is fucked up.
Like, the floor is dangerous.
we can't get. They don't know. They don't know. They don't know. Like, so what? If no one gets on the ground, they're just gonna start coming up to each everyone, and they're just gonna make just put handcuffs on people. They're just gonna put handcuffs on people.
While they're
can they handcuff the? No. Well, you're coming with us, Buster.
So what I do, Nina. No, I'm just going to do something, an act of desperation, because we need to get this taken
care of. Put your hands on the floor.
No, I'm going...
Adam, please. Put your... There is black slime in the floorboards, correct?
There was, yeah.
Put your hands on the ground.
Fine, I put my hands on the ground.
All right, so they get you down onto the ground, and you just... You intentionally put your hands, like, flat
against... He still has slime on him, too.
Yeah. You intentionally put your hands flat onto the ground, and you can feel them trying to, like... The cops are going to try to grab your arms... But are you going to wait for it to grab you, or are you going to try to avoid being grabbed?
I'm going
to
wait for it to grab me.
All right, well, then I don't have to roll for it. The arms come up, and the arms grab your hands. And they grab both of your hands. And it starts to burn. You don't feel any pain. There's no heat or anything like that. But you just the smoke starts to come off of your gloves and everything.
They have to see this. They have to see this fall.
The cops do see this, and they're freaked. Like, they're freaking out. But it's like, I guess the first instinct is to... help you, so they are trying to pull it. They're all gonna try and grab your arms and pull it off the floor.
So I spray down Briggs's hands where he's being grabbed.
Okay, and that won't cost anything. And I'll say that it does like burn on the demon hand and then lets him go.
And how bad is the damage to myself?
You see, it's like, well, you were slimed,
yeah,
but you do see that there are like, it started to warp and bubble the rubber of your gloves. They lead everybody outside. They're gonna sit you all like along the curb, and all the cops are just like, "What the fuck?" Like, it's like, they don't know what to think. I'll say that there's a couple other policemen there who will be speaking English because this is a fiasco that's happened. As far as
you know, I'll say, fine. If you have to arrest us, arrest us. Do not let anybody in that club.
They don't put you in any cop cars. They just sort of sit you along on like the curb.
Because they don't know what to do.
they really don't. And so they're all talking amongst themselves. There's a couple ones that are speaking English that are getting the details from you. You're retelling the story, explain how it was dangerous. You're like, you know, I'm sure you bring up the point, like, if you want proof, look at the burn marks on our partner here.
Yeah.
And so they're all listening very intently and everything.
I'm
and
dedicated.
They're getting the full story. The guy the owner of the club, who's like in the cop car, still passed out. He's just he's done.
Like that guy knows about this, and he's been letting people in here this whole time.
The two cops who were slime netted together, they are like, they're not talking to you. They're talking to other cops, basically telling you a story. They got like bits of the net still on them and everything like that. They're just telling their side of the story. A lot of crazy stuff is happening, and they get the chief of police down there.
Good,
and he's gonna speak through.
I wave.
Yeah, you're handcuffed, buddy. Like you're handcuffed on.
Oh, I try to wave. I'm just like.
Yeah, the chief comes over and he's just looking at everybody sitting on the curb, and Tobin is like locked in a police car, you know, off somewhere.
They locked our dog up.
But the chief police just sort of stares at you guys for a little bit, and he starts talking. You must have friends in really high places, because I want to take you in so bad right now for this is assault on officers. Breaking and entering. I could go on, but...
Definitely breaking and entering.
Yeah.
that's absolutely...
Assault on this other gentleman. This is what I'm going to do. Because you're affiliated with the Ghostbusters, but you're not Ghostbusters International, this is becoming an international problem. I only have some... I can only do so much, but one thing's for sure, I should be able to arrest you for everything that you've done, but because of things beyond my control... You're being let go. There's gonna be no prosecution. We're gonna have to explain that this is that you guys are trying to follow up on the incident regarding the missing Ghostbusters. This is a mess. Leave the city and don't come back. and we will look the other way. So just get out.
So he starts.
There's not much we can do. I mean, so we got to do it.
There's the trail's immediately cold. Like, where do we go from here?
No, we've got other things. We got Mr. Book with the journal.
Yeah, but we're leaving a horrific problem that's going to get worse.
Look,
yeah,
that we can come back to
when it gets bad enough, they'll beg for us to come back.
Yeah.
The problem is they can't say we didn't warn them. That's the thing.
Yes.
We offered adequate notice, so that's on them. Like that's.
Okay. Do you guys want to head back to the safe house then, right? The Cult of Veritas safe house.
Yeah, that's good. Because I feel like even though it's in the city, I feel like we're good there.
Okay. When you get there, Miss Silver is there.
I figured.
Yeah. But not so Miss Silver is there.
I'm just embarrassed because I hate
that. I know, like we're like indebted to her now.
Oh.
Yeah.
She says,
I'm so bitter.
The entire world is indebted to us. So I don't want to.
So Miss Silver is just like, she's like, well, that was interesting. I just had a very long phone conversation with some people that we were able to get you guys out of there. I mean, I'm sorry if you were treated bad, if you were a little roughhouse, but. Do you maybe want to clue me in? Maybe we can help you guys out with this?
I say, some stuff happened. so we fill her in.
So you do tell her everything that happened?
Yeah.
Yep.
She's like, okay, that's interesting. This is for all being a little bit more honest with each other. I think I can share some things that we discovered with you guys. She picks up like a middle envelope, opens it up, and inside are photos, like surveillance photos. Like very grainy, very hard to see, but it does look like surveillance photos from like a street camera or whatever of the International Ghostbusters, one of their cars that you can't tell what kind it is because it's like way off in the corner, parked somewhere, and then like several photos of time lapse of them walking across the street going up to this club at night. The time on the timestamp is like a little after 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, and they do enter the club, and then it just shows like the next day. That the car is gone, and that she says that there's no video footage of them leaving, and we can't tell where their car is gone.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if we can maybe come up with some relatively elaborate plan, just like while we're still at the safe house, and then send somebody to sneak in there. And
Miss Silver does say. She didn't come in to Germany because she heard the Ghostbusters were in trouble. She came into Munich specifically because this was where they tracked down some of their Cult of Veritas people before they had to take them out. And she pulls out more photos, like just to the same. She points out that you just see some like ordinary looking people moving into the club. There's like a line outside to get in. You see people just cutting through the front line, going straight in, like through several photos. She goes, "Those were some of our people."
We'll say, okay, well, what we need are some good disguises.
Yes. She said, she doesn't even flinch, goes, okay.
And we need a way to get into Munich. It's going to be tough because we don't speak German. Nina does.
This is going to be end of Inglourious Bastards.
Yeah.
It's all you can say. Yeah, and nine. This is like
nine.
Just keep confirming and denying.
Yeah, nine.
She says, okay, I will see if I can see if we can get more images from other security cameras around the area to see if we can find out anything about it. In the meantime, I'll get somebody in here to try and see if we can get some disguises for you. We'll see if we can supply you with another car maybe to approach. She's on your side at this point, mm-hmm. but very much just like she wants you to get in there and find out because. This is also she gets a little frank with you by saying she feels like this place is responsible for why her people needed to be killed, and that's not cool. So yeah. she wants you guys to get to the bottom of it as well. So she wants to help. She basically says anything in my power I can do to help you guys get in there. Let me know, and so we can get this done.
Okay.
The problem of getting like say we get the disguises, we can bypass everyone. We can get into the building unchecked. How are we going to get our gear in? That's a big question.
Miss Silver, if she's with you, she's like I don't know, but if you have any ideas,
I have a great idea.
Cut to 5 minutes later. Josh is like. So they reeled in a big cake.
Now, I'm thinking, does this place ever have live music?
Yeah, there's like a DJ. There's definitely a live DJ.
There's a live DJ. Do they ever have bands play?
I'll say that maybe, yeah, in the past they have. Yeah.
Is there a way we can get a hold of their booking agent and a band is going to play?
Oh, boy. It's like,
I know where you go.
Why is this reminding me?
And, you know, it's funny because the speakers and stuff are essentially just big boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if you can get some decent disguises, awesome. And if you can disguise us like some kind of local band that they'd be into, some kind of goth band.
And then maybe pay them the band off just to have them sit out.
Yeah, and we'll show up.
You want to pull like a reverse Blues Brothers where you go up and you're like, yeah. We're the band.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. We want to play live music. We want. It's like if you can get us disguises, get a hold of their booking agent, get us a cover story, and put our gear in some speakers, then we think we got a way in. And then
I'll do the research and we'll figure it out. Okay. And then we're just gonna have to end it there for tonight. Yeah. And I'll stop it now. And we'll pick it up next time.
Ghostbusters Resurrection is brought to you by a comic shop and the generous support of listeners like you.
That means we rely on you to keep us in business by telling a friend, reviewing us on iTunes, or making a contribution in our monthly support drive.
And if you act now, you can take advantage of our special half-price service plan.
Whoa, hold on. Half price? Have we all gone mad?
I guess so, LaForge, because that's not all. Tell them, Wall.
Oh, you mean if you donate even $1, you get access to exclusive Nerdy Show content and cool perks?
That's right, and you can subscribe to all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via the iTunes Store.
So don't wait another minute. Make your supernatural problem our supernatural problem.
And if you'd like to report a spook, specter, or ghost, call us at 321-209-2020.
You can also follow us or the Nerdy Show on all your favorite social networks.
We're ready to believe you!
Hello, this is Jonathan from Marty's Vending Services. I'm just following up on your 2-month no-rental trial of one of our snack machines. If you could give me a call back at 555-2106, I would love to talk to you about how your trial went and if you'd like to make arrangements to keep the machine. Just to let you know, I checked on your request and we are now able to stock Twinkies in our machines, but sadly, for legal reasons, we aren't able to stock our machines with, I wrote it down here, those cute little bottles of booze and shit. But hey, Twinkies, right? That's something. So please give me a call back, or I will try and call you later. Thank you for using Marty's Vending Services.
Yes, there's a haunting up here on King College campus in Bristol, Virginia. Apparently, we're having a few old Civil War, World War, multiple different wars of soldiers that are coming back from the grave and haunting everybody in the area. And there seems to be a tower manifestation in the middle of what is on campus known as the Oval.
They're Confederate coming.
Could you guys get over here ASAP? I mean, I know this is something we should be going for our own division, but I don't think we have one here in Virginia. So if you guys could come, that'd be great.
Hey, get the musket.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.